Nothing brings sadness like hopelessness, and nothing brings joy like hope. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of hope. Hope is that confident expectation which leads to joy. In the Bible, the word hope stands for both the act of hoping and the thing hoped for. Speaking about Abraham, Romans 4:18 says, "In hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be." Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:3-4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved for you in the heaven." We're not talking so much about the birth of Christ today. We're talking about his pre-birth. And yet he is the same Lord who is the Lord of all hope. Genuine hope is not wishful thinking. I so wish the Steelers could win the Super Bowl. But I gotta tell you, it ain't gonna happen this time around. Surprises do happen, but that would really be a surprise. But genuine hope is a firm assurance about things that are unseen and still in the future. The songwriter writes, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Hope does not arise from the individual's desire or wishes, but from God, who is himself the believer's hope. Psalm 39:7 says, "And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you." Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever was written in earlier times were written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." What does that say to us? We ought to be rooted and grounded in the scriptures. I need to say that again. We need to be rooted and grounded in the scriptures, because therein the Lord gives us the word that lets us know that our hope in him through his son Jesus Christ is secure. And we learn that, and we meditate upon that, because our hearts are filled with his word. "Whatever was written in earlier times were written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." Our text opens with these words: "Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth." Of course, the big question that is probably circling around in your mind right now: at what time? Well, you probably already know that, because you've heard the rest of the story. The angel Gabriel had just delivered the news to Mary about God's plan to bring his son into the world through her without the use of a man. Looking back on a sermon that I preached in 2021, I commented on the song, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." The second stanza of that song includes these words: "Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb." Someone has changed the words of that song so that instead of saying offspring of the virgin womb, it says offspring of a favored one. Without really knowing why the substitution was made, I'm left wondering whether the person fails to believe the fact that of the virgin birth, which comes from a failure to understand the necessity of the virgin birth. Jesus didn't enter the world just to be a fanfare event. It was extremely significant that he come that way. Had Jesus been born with the help of a man, he would have had a sin nature just like the rest of us, and therefore he would not have been qualified to save you and me from our sins. Are you with me? He had to come without a sin nature. You and I were born with a sin nature. But he had to come without a sin nature. Someone get tied up on that. And may I say to you, if God could make a man in the beginning without the use of either a woman or a man, and he made a woman without a man and a woman coming together, why should it be impossible for them to bring forth a man through a woman without the use of a man? May I remind you of the conversation between the angel Gabriel and the Virgin Mary? After telling her what the Lord was going to do, he said, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Do you believe that today? Yes. Nothing is impossible with God. And so Mary, in a hurry, goes, and no doubt, I read through the lines here, and I sense that this was a suggestion of the Holy Spirit through Gabriel, that she would go and visit Elizabeth, because the angel told her that your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. In other words, this was a miraculous birth that she was going to have. So Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And so she goes and she visits Elizabeth in a hurry. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Wherever the Holy Spirit is at work, Jesus takes center stage. And so, blessed is the fruit of your womb. People are filled with who are filled with the Holy Spirit do not spend their time trying to show how spiritual they are. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth reflected all attention away from herself and the blessing she was carrying in her own womb, and immediately focused her attention on Mary and the baby in Mary's womb. And so as soon as Mary greeted her, the baby in her womb leaped inside of her. I remember when my wife was carrying our children, and there were times when I would, you know, this was new stuff to me, so she would allow me to put my hand on her belly, and I could feel the baby moving around. And I said, "Boy, this is really something." She said, "Yeah, you think? You ought to see be here when he goes outside to play." In other words, what I was feeling there, she was saying, that was nothing. But that was nothing compared to what happened in Elizabeth's womb when Mary greeted her, carrying the Lord in her womb, and the baby in Elizabeth's womb jumped, leaped for joy. That ought to happen when Jesus shows up. When the Holy Spirit, it fills a place, that should happen, that the people around, because they realize that Jesus is present, we ought to jump for joy. We ought to praise him, for he is worthy. The text says that she cried out with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." This is fulfillment of what was promised to Zechariah in verse 15, that he would be filled, that is, the baby would be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in its mother's womb. Elizabeth rejoiced with Mary. Consider the circumstances, if you will. Mary was a young virgin. And I get the sense that a woman, young or old, to become pregnant without a man, or at least without a husband, was a rare situation. And here this young virgin comes, and she didn't announce her pregnancy. The Holy Spirit announced her pregnancy to Elizabeth because he filled her. But the baby inside of Elizabeth got the news even before Elizabeth got the news. Are you with me? The baby got the news. Now, think about this. The baby in Mary's womb, if I really think about this, was probably had not even been in her womb for an entire week. Some speculate that it took her 4 days to reach the city where Zacharias and Elizabeth lived. At any rate, the scripture says that she got in a hurry and she immediately went to visit Elizabeth. So that baby in Mary's womb, I'm guessing, was in there for less than a week, and yet the Holy Spirit, God, considered that to be a real baby. And John, inside Elizabeth's womb, got the news even before Elizabeth did. You look at God, and the baby shouted for joy. And then the word says, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she utters these words, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. She understood by the Holy Spirit that Mary was to give birth to the Lord. To give birth to John was great, but the birth of Christ far surpassed that birth. Elizabeth never referred to her own baby as Lord, but she did not hesitate to refer to Mary's baby as the Lord. This is because the Holy Spirit was there. There's nothing in this that suggests that Mary is to be praised or worshiped or prayed to. This is simply a declaration of her blessed condition. And of the two blessings, the second is actually the cause of the first. Mary was blessed, but she was blessed because of the baby that she was carrying. Being in favor, may I remind you, with God does not necessarily put you in favor with men. And yet, people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will find favor with them because God does not contradict himself. Jesus talks about being in, when he gives the Beatitudes in Luke 6, he says, blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way the fathers used to treat the prophets. You know, we've become so timid about sharing the good news. Do we really believe it's the good news? Do we really believe that it is the only news that the world needs? If we really believe that, why do we become timid? Why do we become afraid? Because somebody might not like me if I talk to them about who Jesus is and their need for Jesus? Why? Is he real? I asked the question. Is he real? Let us not be timid about sharing this good news. It is the only news that brings the hope of eternal life. If you have Jesus, you too are very, very blessed. It may not always feel like it, but you are blessed and highly favored. Now, if anyone would believe in the divine nature of Mary's conception, it was Elizabeth. No doubt there were people who were speculative concerning her birth. As a matter of fact, Jesus was accused of being born of harlotry. And so we know that there were people talking. And these were the religious leaders who were doing this. And yet, Mary, for not one instant, was ashamed of her pregnancy. Not one instant was she ashamed of that pregnancy because she knew the source, and her trust was in the Lord Jesus. No doubt she had read about the miraculous conception of the birth of Isaac. When Sarah, or Sarai at that point, was beyond the age where women were to bear children, God gave her a child. Perhaps she had heard about Hannah, who gave birth to Samuel, who anointed David to be the king of Israel. Maybe she had heard the story when Samson was conceived, and now God has given her a miraculous conception of the one who is to be the forerunner of the herald of the eternal king that was talking about Elizabeth. The miraculous conception of her own child was very present in Elizabeth's mind, yet the focus of her joy was not on herself, but the Holy Spirit pointed her to Jesus. You know, we need to have that same mindset when it comes to witnessing, but especially when we come into a setting like this, when we're coming to worship. The songwriter says, let us forget about ourselves and concentrate on Him and worship Him. Forget about ourselves and concentrate on Him and worship Him. This was the mind of Elizabeth. And so she did not focus upon herself. She was focused upon Mary and what God had done in Mary's body. The Holy Spirit wasted no time. As a matter of fact, He never wastes time. He never wastes anything. But He made Elizabeth aware of what was going on. And so the Holy Spirit shows up and Jesus takes center stage. You see, nobody can love Jesus like the Holy Spirit loves Jesus. Let me say that again. Nobody can love Jesus like the Holy Spirit loves Jesus. The Gideons state that Christ is the grand subject of the Bible. How good is its design, and the glory of God is in. Everything that is taking place is part of God's eternal plan and work of redemption for the world. Elizabeth has spent the last 6 months contemplating the birth of her own son. I can imagine that there were continual praising God for what He had done for her. You know, when God does something awesome for you, you want everybody to join you in celebrating Him. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. When the Lord is doing great things in your life, you ought to be willing to share it. You ought to be jumping that opportunity to share about how good God is to you. As a matter of fact, let's just talk about this for a moment here. This is it, not in my notes, so I'm not going to charge you for it. So, you woke up this morning. Well, you obviously woke up because I see you here. I don't know if you had any food to eat this morning, but I did. I would suspect that most of you had something to eat this morning. Did you not? Come on, you can help me out a little bit. Did you eat or did you not eat? Yes. All right then. Okay. And you, guess what? It's still with you, isn't it? And so you had the strength to come into this place. Now I got to ask this question. Is God good or is God good? All the time. You've got a reason to praise God. You don't need to wait for a miracle. Every day ought to be a day of thanksgiving and praising of our God. If you can open your eyes, if you can get out of bed, you ought to be able to praise God. But here we find something spectacular going on in the life of Elizabeth, and she's praising God, and now she's confronted with something that's even greater than what God was doing in her own body. So now, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth turns the focus from herself to the greater blessing of being visited by the mother of the Lord. And she cried out with a loud voice. You see, this is authentic spirit-filled worship. She did not attempt to share the limelight with Mary. All of her focus was on the baby which Mary was carrying. And he says, and how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Now, I know I gave this subject Jesus, the Lord of Hope. But you know, I could just as easily have entitled this sermon, Jesus, the Source of Joy, Joy, Joy. The Apostle Paul writes to the Philippian saints, he says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When I think about King David, there are a number of great things that I can think about this great man who lived. But there's one thing that stands out in my mind among the many qualities that he possessed, and that was his ability to engage in authentic worship. He worshiped the Lord in spirit and in truth, which is something Jesus talked about in John 4. In 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles, we find David would worship. And notice what it says. He was leaping and dancing before the Lord. And may I say to you, it is okay if you need to step onto the aisle, if you, the Lord is speaking to your heart, and to leap and to dance. Is that okay, Pastor? Right. It's okay. We don't need to be so sophisticated that we can't shout in the presence of the Lord. That we cannot shout to the top of our voice, hallelujah, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And we need to pray that the Holy Spirit will fill us every time we come into this place so that we will be shouting his praises from the time we come into this place to the time we leave and then beyond. David, a king, did not consider it an indignant thing. Yes, his wife despised him for doing it, but he did not consider it an indignant thing for him to be shouting that way and praising and leaping in joy for the Lord. And so in our text today, John the Baptizer worshiped from the womb. Like King David, he leaped for joy at the presence of the Lord. Elizabeth says, blessed are you. Blessed are you among women. She was blessed, first of all, because of the favor of the Lord was upon her. Because she had been designated. I'm sure the Lord could have chosen any number of other women, but he chose Mary, the one through whom his son would come. And so she was blessed greatly. She was blessed because she was carrying the Lord of life within her. While Mary was blessed, the greater focus was on the baby in her womb. The greatness of the child within Mary was revealed before her birth. The title Lord was given to him before he was born. Please come with me, if you will, to John chapter 3, verses 26 through 30. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. And I can just imagine, you know, if that was said to John in this day, John would say, well, duh. You're supposed to go to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. You yourselves are my witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this, the joy of mine, has been made full. He must increase, I must decrease. As I said earlier, when the Holy Spirit shows up, Jesus takes center stage. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He enlightens our hearts as to who Jesus really is. And when he enlightens our hearts, it ought to produce joy. Joy that will cause us to leap, just like John did before he left the womb. And blessed is she who believed. And so Mary's other blessing was the fact that she believed God. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Belief. You know, on one occasion when Jesus was speaking in the crowd, and a woman shouted out, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. But Jesus said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. There are many who believe in God, but there are only a few who actually believe God. Let me say that one more time. There are many people all over the world who believe in God, but there are very, very few people who actually believe God. There is a difference. This is why Abraham found favor with God. Romans 4:3 says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. When you believe God, it makes a tremendous difference in your life. Mary believed God. She believed what the angel had said to her, and she said to him, may it be unto me as you have spoken. And so Mary breaks out in a song. There's something about the Holy Spirit that makes you want to sing. It's called the Magnificat. In Latin, the song begins with the word Magnificat. The phrase Magnificat anima mea dominum literally means my soul magnifies the Lord. Mary's song is modeled after the song of Hannah. Like Mary, Hannah in the Old Testament was a godly woman who miraculously bore a son through the intervention of God. Hannah's son, Samuel, anointed David as king of Israel. Mary's son will be the final and permanent king of Israel. In fact, he will be the king. He is the king of the world. He's the king of kings and lord of lords. The Magnificat has two main sections. Verses 46 through 49 are considered very personal, where she's praising God for what God has done to her personally. And then the second one is less personal, but it's talking about what God does as a whole. And so she's praising God in song. And we call these stanzas one and stanza two. Stanza one emphasizes the personal reaction of God's holiness and his mercy shown to the pious who trust in him. Mary didn't just reflect on the love of God, she also reflected on the holy character of God. Stanza two. She speaks in the past tense, and she's speaking from the standpoint from a community level, talking about the redeeming acts of God through the Messiah and celebrate his covenant faithfulness in the new age of messianic salvation. And so when he's talking about what Christ has done and what Christ is going to do, or what God the Father has done and what Christ is going to do. And every time I quote John 3:16, I'm reminded of the holiness of God. Now, I know people want to stop and think, well, God is love, 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 love. But the same God who's love, love, love is also holy, holy, holy. As a matter of fact, you never read in the scriptures that God is described as love, love, love. But you do find in scripture where he's defined as holy, holy, holy. Mary did not forget that. She found true blessedness and joy in accepting her lowly situation and has been raised to a high privilege by becoming the vehicle through which God's saving, redeeming work would be done. The hope of Israel and ultimately the hope of the world was and is dependent upon God sending his son into the world. And so she praises God because of this. And praise is always right. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my lips. And so for all of those who are in Christ, we should praise God. You see, Mary was carrying the baby in her belly. You now have the living Christ in your heart. And because of that, you can praise him. And so Mary sings this hymn of praise. She springs, she sings, and she celebrates the Lord in verses 46 and 47. She's literally celebrating the Lord, his goodness. She says, the Lord has smiled upon me, upon his lowly servant in verse 48. She says, the Lord has done great things. And then she says, the Lord is holy. I just need to touch that one more time. I know that there are many people who only want to focus on the love of God. But did you not know that if God was not holy as he is, he could not be as loving as he is? Why do I say that? God demonstrated his love in sending his son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us from the sins that we've committed against him. God had to satisfy his own holiness in order to welcome you and me into his presence. Are you with me? In love, he provided what his holiness required. Mary did not forget that. She said, and holy is he, holy is his name. And let us not forget that. And then she says, the Lord is faithful in his mercy. Oh, aren't you glad that God is faithful in his mercy? Mercy relieves misery. Grace deals with fault. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And I say to you today, God has smiled upon you, for by his grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, so that no one should boast. And finally, she says, the Lord is merciful toward Israel. The Lord indeed is merciful toward Israel, and the Lord is merciful toward you and for me. Peter spoke, and he said, I most certainly understand now, as he spoke to Cornelius, a Gentile, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. God is merciful, and he has not forgotten his mercy. The Lord Jesus was in Mary's womb. This is a reality from the moment of conception to the delivery at Bethlehem. But as I said a moment ago, he's now in you. And there's a passage that we quote all the time, and we need to remember it and not just quote it, that Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you. This is what's one of the unique things that sets Christianity apart from the religions of the world. You see, the religions of the world are simply doing things to try to earn the favor of our God. But Christ is where God sent his only begotten Son unto us to redeem us from the sins that we've committed against him. And only a good God would do that. Only a good God would do that. But he not only came, he is now in you. If you are in Christ, Christ in you, and that is your hope of glory, and that sets you apart from being merely religious like the world. For you have the divine person of the Lord Jesus Christ in you, living inside of you. And so my prayer is that my heart may be filled with the awe and wonder of the Lord's majesty, of his holiness, of his perfect righteousness, of his absolute justice, of his tender mercies, of his great love, of his marvelous grace, and of his faithfulness. And I pray that I will never lose that. And may I pray that for you as well, that you too will be filled with the awe and wonder of God's majesty. He is the awesome God, and his Son is the only hope for the world. Let's pray for opportunities throughout this Advent season to share this hope with the world like we've never done before. Let us pray that the Lord will open up those doors of opportunities for we will be able to share, and that the Lord will move in us each time that opportunity is presented, that we will have the spiritual sensitivity to walk through that door that he opens. and share with this world, this dying world, the only hope for the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you stand, please? Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Be filled with the Lord's joy as you carry the word of hope to a dying world. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, let every heart say amen. 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 There's lunch across the street. Please be careful as you cross the street and have just a wonderful time in the Lord.